This is Wake Up Call,
another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is a Friday as we cruise through yet another week with no sports, but that's changing. NASCAR announced that they're going to be returning to the track very soon. A very ambitious plan. They're going to run four races on the Cup Series, their highest series, in 11 days. But they're going to do it at two tracks, Darlington and Charlotte. Now, this is a test run, if you will, to see if social distancing can work in their sport. Each team will have 16 members, and that's it. Seems like a lot, but you know that is limiting what they usually bring to the racetracks. But no fans will be in attendance. They'll run the races. They'll see how it works. And maybe, just maybe, there's things that other sports can learn from, outdoor sports, that they can learn from it. I don't know. I mean, again, sometimes it's comparing apples to apples, and sometimes it's comparing apples to a ribeye steak. It depends. But I think there is an aggressive plan here for NASCAR to put a product out to be consumed. And they're going to go try it. And if baseball takes a look and says, well, we obviously, our sport is very different. Our sport requires a lot of different sort of, problems and issues in terms of teams and travel, et cetera, et cetera. But we might be able to borrow some of the ideas that you've had on how you've kept individuals away that 6 feet distance and still perform their job. Baseball, that doesn't really work out as well. But again, it's at least something. Because the sports that are trying to get back onto the field and onto the court are holding out hope that there is going to be a way to do it. The NBA and the NHL may be running out of time, but LeBron James is adamant that they get something together to close out this current season that they're under. Then I'm sure Adam Silver would like the same thing, even if it's almost ceremonial, even if their postseason doesn't really make a ton of sense. It's at least ceremonial to say the virus didn't kill us. It didn't kill our season. We didn't give up and wait. We found a way to get it done. It may not have been the best way to get it done. Maybe we gathered in Vegas or Orlando or some place where we could quarantine each other and play a quick tournament to determine a champion. But we didn't let the virus kill our sport. NASCAR was very quick to say that virus wasn't going to kill their sport. They're going to be running on the 17th.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And glad you could be with us as we close out yet another week. It is Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio. Happy Friday to you. Hope you have a good weekend, whatever that weekend may entail. Maybe the to-do list is getting shorter and shorter because of the quarantine. I never really thought about that. You might have to find new projects. My wife comes up with more and more every single week. It's surprisingly too.
Yeah.
Like I'll go, well, what else are we going to do? She goes, oh,
I'm pretty certain others. I'm done until Saturday morning.
Yeah. And then there's something on the table. And you're like, oh, we got to do this. Wow. So you never know. So I hope the weekend comes through. So as I mentioned earlier, there's some good news in terms of the sports landscape. NASCAR is trying to get back on the court. Racetrack, I'm sorry. I keep thinking about basketball and how they're really struggling to get back. NASCAR is trying to get back. They're going to be starting on the 17th. It's going to be four races over 11 days. Now, one of the things that is getting a little bit of criticism is NASCAR is going to run at Darlington on the 17th, and there is going to be no practice sessions for the teams, the drivers, and no qualifying. They're basically going to race cold. I don't know about that. I mean, listen, these are professional drivers who are trying to keep up their skill on iRacing, but throwing them into a car and speeding around a racetrack at 190 miles an hour, or however fast they go at Darlington, right out of the gate, I don't know if I like that. Let them run around for a little bit. Let them get the juices flowing again, getting in the car. It's been a couple of months. But there is some sad news. I didn't want to say bad news, but kind of sad news that Little League World Series got canceled. Now, that wasn't really surprising because it does, you know, it's not just a late August thing. It's an event that goes on around the country in tournaments all through the summer. So you put together your all-star roster, and then they play in all sorts of regional tournaments, and then they go to, you know, sectional tournaments and whatever, and then they finally get to Williamsport to play all through August until you get to the International versus United States Championship. But Little League itself is not canceling its regular season. Now, regional tournaments and sectional tournaments around the country have been canceled, but they're optimistic that they can get something together at some point to have some regular season for the league. This is why it's a little sad. You look at these other sports, and you look at NHL, you look at the Major League Baseball, you know, you say, look, in the end, there's going to be something. They're going to try to put something together so something isn't lost. And you go, even if you did close out the season, all right, it's a couple of months away into the fall when we think we're going to be able to get back into some capacity, and it'll be right back to work. So the 2019-2020 NHL season, NBA season are done, but it won't be long before these guys will be doing something in some way, maybe come autumn. Okay. Little League World Series is sad. Those kids, this is their last opportunity. A lot of the kids, it's their last chance to play in Little League, last chance to play in a World Series tournament or format. And for some of them, it's, you know, it's the end of the road. That's it. They're on to the next level of baseball, or they're done with baseball, depending on you know, who they are, what their motivations are. But the Little League World Series has been going on every year since 1947. It's never been canceled until now. And it's got to be devastating. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, listen, even when you're a kid, you don't know how far you would have gone or what, you know, so it's not like an opportunity to go to Williamsport was taken out of little Billy out of Ames, Iowa. We no idea. Maybe the kid, they don't make it out of sectionals. But, you know, the kids who know that they get on these teams and whatever have dreams, and they envision getting one day to Williamsport and playing on ESPN. And for some, whoever that may be, that you know, it got taken away. And it's sad because they're not getting it back. And it's not like they can. Some of them are young enough that they may be able to return, but most of them are at the age where that's it. You know, it's the end of the line for that particular sport. So there has been, you know, good news with NASCAR in the sense of trying to put a product out there to be consumed, a live product that even if you don't like NASCAR, even if you're not a racing person, it's going to be something. It's going to be some competitiveness. I don't know. I'm going to miss the iRacing a bit. That was kind of fun. But, you know, at least there's something. Little League World Series, too bad. I really feel bad. That's kind of too bad. Not surprising. I mean, I really didn't expect Little League to be back in full force. But that was the news that paired with NASCAR. The other news is that LeBron James is basically on board with finish this season in any way possible in the NBA. Any way you can. Get it done. He says he knows everybody in the league, nobody wants to see the season canceled and just pushed off and get next year started. Whatever they've got to do, Vegas, Orlando, in whatever capacity, right? Just close out the season in any way possible. I like the Vegas idea, but I really like the Orlando idea. I think the Orlando idea works. Disney World's got a couple of basketball courts in their ESPN area, part of the resort. Plenty of hotels that are not being used up. You can quarantine nicely there. It's kind of its own sheltered world. If I was the NBA, that's a place I would consider.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
Disney World can close itself off from the world and treat it like an island.
It totally can. Vegas, you can't. I mean, Vegas, no. Despite the fact that people are quarantined, it's still in a city that people. Yeah, I mean, I don't know in Vegas. I mean, I don't know what the rules are, but can you just walk the strip for no reason whatsoever?
Well,
I mean, you can't go in the casino. That's closed.
Yeah, I've seen people.
Buildings closed.
Friends in Vegas who just take photos and like, look at me on the strip, and there's nothing around.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of a big tease for NBA players to send them to Vegas and go, hey, here you are, but you can't do anything.
Exactly.
Unless the mayor says you can.
And for those of you who've never been to Disney World, Disney World's an interesting resort because you drive on like I-4 in Orlando, and then you get off an exit, and then you go deep, deep, deep in before you even get to the parking lot of the areas. Like, it's, you go, you know, that's at least to get to the what they call the ticket and transportation center, and then you take a ferry to the Magic Kingdom. But they're not going there; they're going to another location. But it can be Shields. It's not a place right now that you can even just go, just to go walk around. The players can be in hotels, totally quarantined, never see a soul, right? Other than the people that are just kind of maintaining the hotel. So they're never going to see just the casual person just walking around going, hey, nothing to do today. Just decided to come here and just walk around. I mean, they're not even letting you in. So that's a location.
I think it's a great idea too.
You know,
I mean, ESPN would eat it up, wouldn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And there again, Disney, ABC, ESPN yep. marriage that works out great. So those facilities are broadcast ready. They do tournaments there, college basketball tournaments.
Would they allow TBS to into their facilities?
Maybe TNT? So. I hope so. I hope we're all in it together, right? Is that the slogan?
Chuck, Kenny, right? They all be allowed. Ernie.
Maybe from a remote site, you know. Plus, then you can, you know, one of the things about all these amusement parks everywhere around the country, I mean, is that you have to have people at these places that run the attractions, so the attractions stay, you know, they don't get, you know, shut down.
Yeah.
So you run them every now and then. I know at Disney and Universal, they just keep them running, you know, they just run them out a little bit.
Yeah,
you could do something cool. If everybody's clear of this coronavirus, you could throw like LeBron James on some roller coaster where it's just him and a couple of other people riding in the middle of, you know, riding in nowhere.
Yeah. Can we talk a little jealousy real quick?
Yeah.
Because, you know, like you said, there are people who are currently working at Disney World and Disneyland and all the Disney parks right now.
Yep.
Because you have to keep those rides running.
That's a cool job.
You know, yeah. I mean, okay, because you figure you're just pushing a button to send the car through. No one's on it, but you have to keep those rides moving because you can cause more damage if you don't let
them
run. Yeah,
exactly.
So you could eat your lunch while you're working.
Yeah.
And then when you take your lunch break, could you possibly do the entire park in an hour? I think you might be able to.
I think you might be able to, yeah. Exactly.
No lines. Every ride's like maybe a minute to three minutes long. You could kill an entire park.
I think that would be a cool gig. I mean, just like you're just on it by yourself, just looking around.
Yeah.
Going, this is crazy.
Maybe like, some of the rides you're a little freaked out, like the Tower of Terror ride. You're the only one on the elevator that's dropping.
Right.
It's like, man, no one is watching me right now.
Yeah.
I'm alone.
Throw some NBA stars in this little mini empty park reality show. You've got other content for everybody.
Yeah, you know, and just say, hey guys, look, I know you guys want Vegas because of the nightlife, but we have family time.
That's right.
Bring your family.
Yeah, go ahead.
Immediate family only.
So I like that idea. I like it better than Vegas. I mean, listen, there's really no. I mean, it's fine if Vegas is really centered in on quarantine and getting the guys to and from the courts and whatnot. But look, when we talked about the Arizona plan in baseball, there was like all these issues. It seems like the NBA is like, look, can we just like, that was a 4.5 month plan. I think the NBA, if they said 2 weeks, blast out some tournament games, championship, like a summer league event, what they do in the summer league, when they get all the teams in Vegas, they play a summer league, a tournament. I think you can do something like that. Double elimination. Let's get the hell out of here. Let's close out the season and let's create some content. And I think LeBron is like, he's adamant that the NBA find a way to do something. It doesn't matter. LeBron didn't lay out a plan, but I think what he's saying is let's not give up. Let's not, you know, I know time is running out. I mean, it's May, you know, I mean, eventually you do have to figure out what your drop dead date is for this season so that you can say, look, we do want to get into a delayed draft, a delayed free agency, but we just can't push this. We can't close out the season in October and then come back, you know. So there is going to be a drop dead date, but LeBron is very adamant. Let's consider other proposals. Let's consider plans. Let's figure this out. We need 15,000 tests. Let's see if we can get 15,000 tests, not at the expense of the public getting tests.
Yeah.
But let's see we can get the 15,000 tests in order to have resume the season in some capacity.
And honestly, if you're the NBA, you give them the ultimatum. You say, hey, it's either Orlando, it's Disney, or it's Greenland.
Yeah, Greenland, right. Your choice.
Because nothing's going on in Greenland.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Again, Ron with two N's as we continue this morning. All right, we got a couple of more things that we want to get to, including latest in the NFL with Andy Dalton. Is he an option for some teams? Yes, but in what capacity? We'll talk about that next on SB Nation AM.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio. When your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop. Don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery does need to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. So make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. So, Andy Dalton got released yesterday. Oh, no surprise.
No.
There was a story that he went around and shook the hands at the time you could shake hands at the end of the season last year in their final game with media members saying, yeah, just in case. Knowing the writing was on the wall. Remember they benched him for Ryan Finley? And they had to go back to him when Finley was just horrific as a starting quarterback. And they went, oh, yeah, sorry about that benching thing. You mind taking your starting job back for the next couple of games?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I when news came down, I thought he was already gone.
I had thought he was already gone, yeah. I thought he was still available to chat, you know, for a job. So that's over with. 9 seasons. And you know what? Not a bad career. He made the playoffs 5 times in 9 seasons. But he hasn't been since like 2015.
He made the Pro Bowl.
He's the franchise's all-time leader in touchdown passes. But you know what? Again, he couldn't do the thing that other Bengal quarterbacks couldn't do either, which is win a playoff game.
Not his fault.
They went, yeah, exactly. That team is cursed beyond cursed. 1991 is the last time they won a playoff game. So he went 5 times to the postseason and lost in the wild card round every single time. And again, hadn't been there since 2015. But nevertheless, here's the thing. It's in this crazy NFL offseason, is he just going to have to sit out a while? Because Cam Newton hasn't been touched by any team yet. Now, I think Cam Newton ends up on a team eventually. But Andy Dalton, like, not going to talk to teams and can't go visit them and can't go chat?
I can see people taking a flyer on Andy Dalton. Because the knock on Cam Newton is, hey, you know, although you're a former MVP, led your team to a Super Bowl, almost led your team to an undefeated season, you have all these accolades. Last couple of seasons, you've been injury prone.
Yep, very injury prone. And that's the problem.
I mean, I don't know. If you're a team, you know, it's like, okay, we'll take him on as a backup. Because, you know, we got 32 starting quarterbacks. We already know that. You know, I don't really see any quarterback controversy or quarterback battles happening anytime soon. So I don't know if you bring him in.
You know, if Cam Newton is, because listen, you know what you're going to get with Cam when he's healthy. It's just he's not healthy. And in this day and age, you can't see for yourself. Dalton's not coming necessarily off of that, but he isn't coming off a really good season. So
no, but you
again, if you can play
in
this league, if you can play in this league, even if you don't produce, you haven't produced in the last couple of years, but you read defenses, you can throw, there's always going to be a spot for you somewhere on a roster. It just depends on what that spot is. So is Dalton going to land somewhere? Yeah. But the thing I'm looking at with this current environment is when, like how? Until we're getting the clear to go do visitations, do you just take a chance on him, go, yeah, whatever, it's cool? That's not how it would work in the regular way. Andy Dalton would, in the regular, without COVID-19, he would have gotten released. Teams would have made inquiries to his agent. His agents would be making inquiries into teams. There would be a meeting. They would be come up and see us. It would be a physical, et cetera, et cetera. And let's offer you a contract. Now it is, we just offer you a contract. Let's just take your word for it that everything's good. With Cam Newton, you absolutely can't offer anything until you know. Andy Dalton, he's not coming off an injury. It doesn't mean he doesn't have bumps and bruises and things he might be dealing with, but he's not coming off an injury. So, you know, he might be a better backup option in terms of risk than Cam Newton, even if Newton might be the better player in terms of playing. It's just weird that it's just weird the way this is all set up, how it's kind of thwarted the thought process of teams.
Yeah.
You know, just of how, you know, how it goes. But here are two. Listen, if you're a backup quarterback in this league right now looking for a job, you've got two guys ahead of you that, unless they price themselves out of a deal, you're going to struggle to find a contract. If you're the journeyman NFL quarterback that is currently unemployed, you know, not a big name, just consistently gets on these teams and holds the clipboard and is ready to go at a moment's notice, you got Cam Newton and Andy Dalton on like waiting ahead of you to get gigs before, you know, somebody calls you. You better be well connected with friends in this, you know, like, oh yeah, I remember working with that offensive coordinator. We got along really well.
Yeah,
maybe my phone will ring.
The only way you're skipping ahead of those two is if you're going in saying, yeah, dude, I'll do it for $5 and a bucket of chicken.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
At this point, I mean, if you're looking for a bona fide backup, and let's face it, every team needs a backup because every team's quarterback gets injured.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, if you're the Steelers, you might be looking towards Andy Dalton, even though he was a nemesis for so many years. But you might be looking that way just because, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, when was the last time he completed a full season?
Oh, God, I would completely take Andy Dalton at this point. Are you kidding? I mean, listen, no, I had fun with Duck Hodges and, Mason Rudolph and, but neither one of them was really capable of doing anything.
The Duck needs to come back.
Yeah, but he wasn't good.
No, I know he wasn't good, but hey.
I love the story. I love
secondary
the personality.
Secondary career, though, that's radio gold.
That was fun. God, that was such a great story. That was so fun. And he did have some moments when he was the unknown factor, when he was doing pretty good. But then once teams figured him out, it was easy to shut down the passing game of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But, you know, are the Patriots really interested?
Hey, don't you think they should make a move?
Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer, is that where we really believe Bill Belichick is going a year after Brady?
You can't go Brian Hoyer. I'm sorry. He's had so many chances. He couldn't make it in Cleveland. And Cleveland was desperate for quarterbacks. I think, I mean, if Brian Hoyer is your back, Jared Stidham, okay, I guess it's his turn. You got to go with him. You got to at least, you know, he's got to be 1A at this point. But Belichick would be a fool if he didn't bring in one of these two guys.
Well, here's the thing. I know they like Stidham. I liked Stidham. I thought he looked good in college. I don't.
I'm not saying don't go with Stidham.
I cannot. But how are you going to start Jared Stidham over a healthy Cam Newton if you get him? Well, if he's healthy and he's on your roster?
I guess,
Jared Stidham going to be the starting quarterback over Andy Dalton?
It's the Patriot way.
I guess so. I mean, you're right. It's just, I'm just kind of throwing it out there and looking
at
the picture of Jared Stidham going to the sideline to talk to Josh McDaniels about something really quick, and Cam Newton's got no helmet on standing directly behind him.
Right.
Picture that in your head.
All I'm saying is you can't have Brian Hoyer as your backup. You got to put him down to number three if you have Andy Dalton and Cam Newton available.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Did you notice how much Jameis Winston signed for with the Saints? $1 million.
Yeah.
For 1 year.
Of Harvard education.
Somebody said on Twitter, A.J. McCarron got $4 million to be a backup where in Houston. I think
that's where
his last drop. Jameis got $1 million to be a backup quarterback in the NFL. That is pocket change. That is what kind of discount did he give the Saints? How desperate was Jameis Winston's camp to land on a roster?
He figured, you know what? We're playing Tampa twice a year.
Might as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's take it to them, Saints.
Jameis Winston, a 5,000-yard passer, 30 touchdowns, albeit 30 interceptions, too. Couldn't get at least $3 million to be the backup quarterback in New Orleans.
You should have kept with the three, right?
Right? Might as well stay there.
Stay with
right?
the threes.
Stay in that capacity.
NFL's first 30-30 man.
All right, more NFL as we continue. There's something in numbers, and especially in Dallas, we'll tell you next. It is Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. I mean, a wake-up call, I should say. By the way, Facebook, we got a new Facebook page.
Saw that.
Yeah.
Somebody's been working overtime.
Well, hey, you know what? It's about time we provide our listeners an opportunity to contact us other than Twitter. Find us on Wake Up Call at Tony D and Ron Culver on Facebook. You can send us a message there. You can tell us how great we are. You can tell us how terrible we are. It doesn't matter. Whatever's on your mind, we don't care.
Yep.
Just want to hear from you. You know, just let us know you're out there.
Take it either way.
Yeah, and then we'll be posting some different promotions, guests, and things like that, links to the show, whatever we're going to post on there. There's all sorts of cool options that we can do.
Funny memes.
Funny memes is right. That's always a good one. Oh, by the way, can I just make this? Yesterday, my daughter got me into TikTok. I'm totally off. I had no idea what that was.
Are we going to start posting TikTok videos to Facebook?
Well,
I
saw these TikTok videos. You know, but, you know, you see like A-Rod and J-Lo dancing, and you're like, oh, TikTok. Oh, this is kind of silly. But then my daughter says, oh, no, Dad, some of these are really good. And there was one guy who did a series of videos called Dirty Jokes with Mom, in which his mother will be like in the kitchen or just hanging out doing nothing. He'll just come up to her and surprise her with a joke. And some of them are dirty, some of them are not. But then there's his dad is in the background laughing hysterically after every joke. And that's what makes it. I couldn't stop laughing at one of them. One of the jokes was just silly. But the father laughing immediately and just the disgust on the mother's face was great. And I'm sure it's all orchestrated, but I thought it was wonderful. But the dancing gets old. But she got me into that. And it is kind of addicting to go through the videos and see what people are doing in quarantine. Now, some of them are dumb, but some of them are really clever. One person took googly eyes and put them on their father's deer heads that they had. That was great. I couldn't stop laughing. The deer heads had these googly eyes on them. I thought it was fantastic. It's silly, but it was, you know, hey, listen, what are we doing in quarantine? Might as well keep ourselves occupied in some capacity. By the way, the creativity out there is really good. People are doing really good jobs with, you know, different ways to keep themselves occupied and having fun with the family and coming up with little contests and games. It's like, you know, that's good job, people. Good job. For those of you who have to stay at home with a bunch of teenagers, it must drive you nuts. And they're coming up with cool ways to stay occupied. Very cool. All right, so the Dallas Cowboys were in the news yesterday. You know why? Because they're going to give CeeDee Lamb number 88. That's a big number for their wide receiver core. Did you see that?
Yeah, I guess they don't retire that jersey number, do they?
No. This is a Hall of Fame number for the Dallas Cowboys. Drew Pearson wore it, Michael Irvin wore it, and then Dez Bryant wore it, although he's not a Hall of Fame, but, you know, Dez Bryant wore it. But here was a cool little attachment to this story. Jerry, you know, CeeDee Lamb wore number 2 at Oklahoma, and wanted to wear number 10 in Dallas, but Jerry Jones wanted to give him the number because, you know, first of all, CeeDee Lamb fell into their lap. They really didn't need a wide receiver. They, you know, had one of the best ones on the board available to them at 17, so they took him. But also, Jerry played at the University of Arkansas. They won the 1960 National Championship. A member of that team, Jerry Lamb, wore 88 and was an instrumental part of that success of that Arkansas championship team. So, you know how Jerry is. He just sees like a larger picture with everything. And he thought, well, I want to honor my friend who just passed away in December. We landed a wide receiver in the first round, which was not expected. And you know what? Let's give him the big Dallas number. We'll give him Jerry Lamb's old number. We'll give him the number of the wide receiver that comes to Dallas and is expected to make a big splash. But yeah, I'm with you. There's no retirement. That's kind of a cool way to do that with a number, though, is to say, look, yeah, we don't retire the number, but we only give it to people who we really believe will live up to the number that this number represented in the past.
Now, does Amari Cooper kind of feel left out?
Yeah, right? Exactly. Amari Cooper's like, wait a second. I just got the big contract.
In me, I guess.
No right, faith in me. Fine. And then you just kind of go, hey, like, you get, here comes CeeDee Lamb, and he gets the big 88 to be put in the class of Pearson Irvin and Dez Bryant? I mean, come on. So, nevertheless, I thought that was an interesting angle to the number. There was one, I saw this Twitter poll. It's from somebody who covers Alabama sports, saying that she saw an article where they, the author of the article, the author of the column, suggested that Dan Marino allow Tua Tagovailoa to wear 13. And she had like an online poll saying, you know, should Marino allow Tua to wear 13? And overwhelmingly, the answer was no. Right? I mean, and I was like, yeah. I mean, if you're Dan Marino, I wouldn't just give 13. Look, I think Tua is going to have a nice career, but the Dolphins have taken a lot of potential quarterbacks, chewed them up and spit them out into the world as just, yeah, didn't work out here. If I'm Marino, I'm like, nah, no, no, no. But do you want to be petty with your number? Is that a bad look? So if you're a Hall of Famer and you've had a great career, you're synonymous with the organization, and let's say you wore number 10, right? And 10 is in the Ring of Fame and it's retired and everybody still wears 10 today. You're still getting a little royalty because everybody loves nostalgia. Everybody remembers when you were lighting up the old stadium back in the day. And then somebody comes to you and goes, hey, they just drafted this this quarterback and he wore number 10 in college. Would you mind if he wore 10? Is it a bad look if you say, hell no, he's not getting 10. That's my number. Or do you have to go, all right, I guess. Yeah, sure. I guess he can wear 10. I don't want to sound ridiculous. I guess we could give it to him. I don't know. What do you do?
I mean, yeah, I don't think he could be petty.
Yeah, because you don't want to look arrogant. Like, no, I had a Hall of Fame career, and this guy's just coming out of college. He could be a miserable failure.
Yeah, no.
I don't want him tarnishing the number.
But at the same time, if you're a star quarterback and you head to the 49ers and you're like, no, yo, man, I need 16.
Yeah, right?
I mean, he's like, do you, as an organization, you sit there and go, no.
No, you're not going to.
You
no.
will develop your own number.
Yeah, you're
16
not getting...
is iconic. That red 16 is infamous. Did right. you throw the catch? No. So you don't get 16.
Did you deliver us four Vince Lombardi trophies that are in that case right over there? No.
Yeah. Are you still the 16. Only? Are you one of two quarterbacks that's 4-0 in Super Bowls?
I think the best answer to it, if you are this, so here's my advice, future star NFL quarterback Hall of Famer. If you get asked this, if you get blindsided by this question and you don't want to give your number away, because listen, I think it would be, you know, look, maybe some people don't have this level of egotism, but I know I would really enjoy returning to the stadium every now and then seeing my number still on people's backs, right? Walk around the stadium, look, man, people still love me. Look at that. Numbers, you know, maybe Elway likes seeing sevens in the stadium every Sunday for a Denver home game, right? But I think you say, well, you know, I'm okay. It's not up to me. It's up to the organization. If they feel it's appropriate, that they could do that, sure. But, you know, I don't really have any problem with it. It doesn't really affect me. Then quietly behind the scenes, tell your agent, call them, make sure they don't do that. So you don't appear like you're being a little petty, but at the same time you go, all right, but I don't want this to happen. Like Michael Irvin, is he okay with CeeDee Lamb wearing his number?
I think he would be.
He seems like an easygoing guy, right?
I saw that Dez Bryant is okay.
Yeah, well... But Dez don't have a choice because Dez is still trying to get back into the league.
Yeah, but is that a surefire way of saying, Dez, you're not coming back to the Cowboys?
Yeah, exactly. Why don't you go hang out with your new Saints friends who seem to enjoy it, the 10 minutes that you spent with that organization before you got hurt?
But I was looking at, okay, who wore 88 in Cowboys history, right? There is a guy in between Michael Irvin and Dez Bryant who wore 88.
Ooh, good trivia. Let me think. Was it?
I don't remember this guy. So
can't remember. Go ahead.
Antonio Bryant.
Antonio Bryant.
Yeah,
I did not know that. Okay,
he wore 88 for two seasons.
All right. Well,
it's So, I mean, like that just goes to show you, for every Dez and Michael and Drew Pearson that there are that have worn the iconic 88, there's an Antonio Bryan out there who's like, yeah, put me in that group.
Yeah. Michael saying Dwayne Haskins asked Joe Theismann to wear the retired 7. Theismann, a pure gentleman as he is, said it was okay.
Well, that's, you know.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's the Theismann way.
I am not saying that you should protect that. I am saying I would protect it.
I know, but isn't it funny? In football, I guess maybe it's because there's so many jerseys, so many numbers to go around that this seems okay to do, but you would never think to do that in baseball. Like, if you were coming up through the Yankee farm system, you could never say, yeah, I want 3.
Yeah, I want 3. Yeah, or I want 5 or 6 or 7.
Any single digit numbers, really.
2.
But 3 is probably one of the more iconic numbers in all of history.
Can't be 3. That's it. But you know what? That works in baseball because you can be 99. Like, you know.
You could be.
You can be any number.
Maybe not for long, depending on the career Mr. Aaron Judge might have.
That's right.
99 could get retired in Yankee Stadium at some point.
In the NFL, because numbers are position-oriented.
Yeah, so I guess you...
It's not like you can be a quarterback and go, well, I'll take 42.
Right.
Like, you can't be 42.
Yeah.
You have to be one of these numbers. And, you know, some of these numbers don't belong to you anymore.
So I guess you don't retire numbers. In the NFL,
you retire them very sparingly. You make sure that your person is just in the books as one of the greatest ever before you throw it up there.
Yeah,
but you can't do it like baseball, where there's just like a monument of retired numbers, where people can go and go, wow, look at all these numbers. They're no longer the whole organization, 100+ years of Yankee baseball, right? Just all of these numbers are retired.
Yeah,
because you can come up through the Yankee system and play catcher and be 32.
The Yankees at some point, though, might run into an issue. Or they'll probably be the first team that goes triple digit.
Right, maybe down the road.
Down the road. We're talking, you know, 100 years down the road.
Yeah,
assuming that,
still,
you know,
a lot of numbers.
Assuming that baseball is being played ever again.
Remember, Brian Bosworth had this problem because he wore 44 in college at Oklahoma. When he got to the NFL, he petitioned the league to be 44. They said no.
Yeah.
And he said he was 55. But he hated it because he had a whole business based on being 44.
But it was only recently, I feel like, that wide receivers got to wear team numbers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They've done that. Yeah, you can do that.
But that wasn't always a thing.
No.
It was always, yeah. I mean, you know, I remember growing up, I mean, the wide receivers were always in the 80s.
Yeah.
Anyone who caught a ball on offense was in the 80s. No matter if you're a wide receiver, tight end, because I guess you only had, what, 10 players?
Yeah. So... I like the fact Joe Theismann's letting Dwayne Haskins wear 7. I like that. That was kind of nice.
Yeah.
That was nice of him. I mean, I just assumed that would...
Who's going to don the 12 in New England at some point?
Right. Oh, they would probably just give it away now, right? Just be like, whatever, Tom. You're gone.
Yeah.
If I was Belichick, I would probably go... I would drop it casually. Are we signing Cam Newton today? Yeah. And we're giving him number 12.
Well, what was Gronk's number? Is he 88?
Yeah, 87.
So there is an... I saw this article. I don't know who on the Buccaneers is 87. Forgive me. I'm not a Buccaneer fan. I know 2 players on the Buccaneers now. But the guy who wears 87 said he'll give it to Gronk, was like for like $1 million or something. He actually came out and said, I'll give this to you, but here's the price.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to... who, Chris Godwin, you know, who, like when the question came up, like, oh, what are you going to do with 12? And Chris Godwin's like, oh, here, man, you can take it.
Might as well take it. Yeah. You don't want to hold back the massive industry that is Tom Brady.
Because, I mean,
he's got a whole TB12 thing going on. You don't want to get in the way of that machine.
Yeah, because TB13 just doesn't sound right.
No, that doesn't sound right. So Godwin could have held his ground, but he would have just been gobbled up and spit out by TB12 and the entire organization.
Maybe he'll just get free TB12. Swag.
Maybe that's secretly part of the deal.
The menu.
All right, again on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with 2 N's. It's Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call. You know, one of the things, I don't own a jersey at all of anybody, and it's not one of those pride things. I don't wear a jersey. I just never bought one. Never bought one. But if I always said if I would, I always would get one of a guy who was in my favorite, on my favorite team, and then left and was retired and was gone. No buying a jersey of a potential, you know, like,
I'm sure there's,
yeah, Bradshaw would be mine. I'm surprised that in my age, I never bought a Bradshaw jersey in my life.
I'm surprised too.
Because I love Terry Bradshaw.
You should go and get the Bumblebee one.
I know. It would be great, right? The Bumblebee Bradshaw jersey. But I mean, you know what? I probably should get one. Just say, you know, because I've never bought one. Now I have like a cousin who collects them. So he buys them. He says like a closet full
of
jerseys.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. You either you go all in.
Yeah.
Or you can't. Like, we have a guy who works here on a culture map, you know, information website for everything that goes on in Houston. And he has baseball jerseys, but his thing is vintage baseball jerseys.
Yeah, good. That's a good little hobby.
And so he has about like 30 plus right
now. Yeah, those are kind of cool.
And so every once in a while, I'll see him cruising the halls, and he's wearing the Philadelphia Phillies from the 80s. That
weird-looking
blue and
red
one.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's awesome.
That's great. That's a nice little hobby of you. Is he single?
I don't know.
Does he have a wife nagging him on his purchases?
That's a good question.
Because, yeah, those aren't cheap. Good for him. Like my cousin, he's not married, so he's got a lot of disposable income. So he just fills his closet with jerseys. If I bought five, my wife would go, "That's enough. Done."